Morning, everyone. Welcome to another Breakthrough Academy. Great to be here again. We always look forward to it. I'm here with Pastor Peter and myself, Josh.
Hey, everybody.
Stobie. Glad you could all be here today. This really is something that we look forward to.
It is. You know,
every week.
And we were, Josh, why are you panicking? Why are you puffing, Josh?
Well, thank you for asking so I can explain and now breathe. I just had to go to the bathroom. And Pastor Peter goes, we're live in 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm going. I'm running back. And just as I come through the door, he goes, we're live in 15 seconds. So
John, spin around, sit down and smile. But he looked good, but he couldn't stop the breathing. So you never know what's happening right before. I was sitting here patiently reading my Bible. Josh was...
This is real, you know. normally I'm praying just before, and yeah. This time I was running.
This time I'm running. And Jay wanted to be here, but he's woken up with sore throat.
Yeah.
And I told him he wanted to come and to still be in the studio. I said, stay, get some rest. And so we'll be praying for him. In fact, let's do that right now.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you. Lord, I think of Jay, and I think of anyone else. Lord, I know other people have been really battling. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is one thing we know about Jesus. He loves to heal. He loves to bring that healing power to manifest and to flow and to work. And I thank you. We love to do the work of Jesus. We love to to do the things that bring you, Father, so much pleasure.
That's good.
And I thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray for Jay and anyone else, Lord, right now. Lord, anyone who's connecting and they're feeling they're not well, they're struggling with something, or even it's something long-term, something serious.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, I speak healing. This is a day for healing. This will be the day they say, look what the Lord has done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We agree with that. We believe that. And welcome to all our regulars. Thank you for being here. We love your comments. You're always welcome to comment, because this is not just us speaking to a screen. You're actually a part of this, and so we love the interaction. As usual, you're always welcome to be here in person. The doors are open.
Yep.
There are seats here, 9 a.m. at the church. We'd always love to have you. You're always more than welcome. And so I'm excited to get into what we're doing today.
Judith, we've got Christine, Brooke. Agnes.
Welcome. Hello.
Great to have you guys
Thank
with
you
us.
Thank you for commenting.
Yeah.
It's great that we know, we're now talking to them.
Yeah,
you know what
it
I mean?
Is. It really, your comments feed us and give us, Lord, give us a sort of like a focus.
We
like to preach to you. So we're gonna continue on. We've been studying Jesus. We've been looking at what makes Jesus mad, sad, and glad, because those things give us a bit of a clue of God. And I just particularly wanted to look this morning, things that make Jesus glad. The things that actually got him excited and happy. We spoke last week about, you know, so Jesus rejoiced and he got up and do a bit of a dance. And hey, that really got Jesus excited. And so it's sort of good for me to look and say, hey, what things really got his attention?
Yeah.
What things made him pretty happy on earth? Because that gives me a real clue as about the heart of God. Because there's things that we do, we say, okay, we're trying to do the right thing, but we've got this desire to actually make him happy and to please him.
That's right.
And what are the things that really sort of enables us to do something that gets God its attention? I think that's one of the things, because there's a lot of things that happen, and God knows everything, but there's certain things that capture his focus or cause him to look sideways with a right sense. If we maybe just start with this scripture, which is not talking about Jesus, because that's our topic, but 2 Chronicles chapter 16. So we're back in the Old Testament. But this is one of my life verses.
To and fro.
This is one of my life verses. In fact, when Christine, my wife, wanted to get something for me special for, I think it was birthday or Father's Day. Chris, you can answer in the comments you're watching. I think it was birthday, and so she goes, what can she get? And she got me a page from one of the original King James Bibles.
Yeah.
So about 500 years old.
That's cool.
Because it's just a part of the heritage and the connection I have with the Word of God, and I love it. So I thought having this really cool page. And you know what passage she got? She got 2 Chronicles 16. so that I've got this old King James Bible there with this passage on it because it's one of my favorite passages. And you know, sometimes I just sit there with it and just have a look at it. And it's so I've got this old page. It's very hard to read because of the font that the King James chose to use.
Yeah.
I thought that was the font that everybody used back then. So that and then I discovered another Bible. I got just recently another page from a different Bible, Geneva Bible, and they use a different font. And I'm like, and it was around the same. It was, you know, same time. Yeah. Like, oh, he could have used a different font. Much easier to write. And then when
why
I looked,
didn't
at,
you?
And then when I look at the old King James one, the actual headings and things up, they use a different font, which is easier to read. I'm like, why do they use this very different Gothic sort of font? Anyway, so it's a bit difficult to read because of the old English spelling, but also this font, which is hard to read. So you have to sort of really squint and sort of work it out.
Yeah.
So I'm reading. But you know what I think? I sit there and read it and think, this Bible's been around for 500 years. That's about how, you know, how many hands has it gone through?
Yeah.
You know, has it just sat in a library? Has it sat in storage? Has it been actually used by people? Have people read this?
Mm.
And one thing I think of, how many people have seen this actual verse?
Yeah.
And it tells us what God is looking for. How many responded? Over 500 years, how many people responded to this verse?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Lord, maybe I'm the first one who's actually held this Bible is actually going to respond to this verse. But I want to put my hand up and I want to say, I want to catch your attention. And maybe, and I hope there's been lots of others, but it's like, this verse is not new. That's what I'm trying to, I'm meditating. This is not like, oh, brand new revelation for people in the year, in the 21st century. No, this revelation has been around for centuries. And who has laid hold of it? And so 2 Chronicles 16, 9, and this is from the New English Translation. Certainly the Lord watches the whole earth carefully and is ready to strengthen those who are devoted to him. Let's just look at this.
I think I was quoting the New King James or the New American.
Yeah.
To and fro.
Yeah. It's a very interesting that he's...
That's the one that I remember.
Yeah, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. So it's funny that the New English Translation is actually done like a bit of a paraphrase here.
Yeah.
They haven't tried to be literal because it's sort of what's the eyes of the Lord moving to and fro? You know, people say, well, you know, as physical eyes. No, it just means God is paying attention. And that's sort of certainly the Lord watches the whole earth carefully throughout the whole earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And at this, because this is talking in the context, it's talking to a king who made a foolish decision not to trust God, but instead he said, you know, I trusted God in the past when we're under pressure, but now we're under pressure. He actually decided, well, I'll try and buy off my enemies. I'll try and pay for some mercenaries to come in and protect. I'll try and sort this out myself.
Yeah.
And the prophet comes and says, you know, God's looking for opportunities to work.
Yeah.
That's effective. God is looking for opportunities to work.
It's quite interesting that I'm in like the early stages of, you know, sort of putting like my next message together.
Yeah.
And sort of around the concept of attracting God. But, and this was one of the scriptures that I was looking at, where it's like, this is not attracting God, but this is actually God looking.
Yeah.
And I was actually on holiday just when I was like thinking about it. And God just got, I think it was God that just gave me this this picture. I don't know if it's just me. I'm assuming everybody that's hungry has done this universally. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
You know when you open the fridge or you open the pantry?
Yeah.
There's no food. There's not the thing that you want.
Yeah.
And you close it. You go away. And it's like, but you look again.
Yeah.
And you look again. I just had that sort of that picture, that image of God doing that with us. It's like, are they looking to trust me because I want to do this like so bad like for them. I want to do this so much for them.
Yeah.
It's like, Are they looking to me? Are they trusting me? Are they ready? Because I want to do this for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a sort of an interesting way of looking at it.
Because often we have...
Like eager he is.
We have this impression that prayer is trying to get God to do something for us.
Yeah.
We're trying to convince him. We're trying to bend his arm. God, you know. And people use multiple methods in trying to manipulate God, if you like. Yeah. Trying to, at first, you know, we say, okay, God, you promised, and it's almost like you've got to keep your promise.
Yeah.
Hey, we bring the promises to God. I'm not talking this in the wrong sense, but I'm saying it's done with the motive is he doesn't want to do it. I've got to force him to do it. And so it's like, God, do you see how serious this is?
Yeah.
This is a really serious
situation. Try to move God.
Yeah, this is a really terrible situation, God. If they don't get the money, they'll be out in the street, God. You know, this is a family that, this is really desperate. Lord, this is a really, really serious thing. So we're trying to push God. Oh, God. Some people use some sort of thing, you know, like if we can bargain with God. God, if you'll just do this, I promise I'll do this and I'll serve you. And they're all sort of motivated around this sense that it's hard to get God to move.
You've got to get him to budge.
He's reluctant. He's like, okay. I don't know whether I've kept it. I'm.
You've got to convince him.
I've got. I actually photocopied a page of a novel years ago. I was reading these novels. They're Christian novels. I stopped reading them. All right, because Christian novels. Which, you know, when you read something Christian, you think, okay, build my faith.
Yeah.
It was hurting my faith. My faith was going down. I thought, what is it about these people? What is it about this concept? You know, because I was Christian. And so it was this Christian family through, you know, the mid-1800s. And, you know, times are tough. They're pioneers type, you know. And things would go wrong. And, the barn would catch fire and fall down. The kid would, you know, break his leg. The husband would lose his job, and so he'd have to go and get a job somewhere. You know, all these things, and it's like, you know, but they're sort of being good Christians through it.
Pushing through.
And at one point, things got so desperate, like this thing after thing went wrong, and this husband is separated from his wife, you know, like in the sense he had to go hundreds of miles to another place to get work. So he had to get work, and he's trying to get work. And he finds out he's been putting money aside and posting it back to his wife to thing. But then he finds out the people at the mail thing have been stealing the money. So he's been doing all this. It hasn't been working. And then people have been stealing
his
money.
Hard times.
And so his wife's starving with their kids. And he's down there earning a dollar a day, you know, for hard work. And even the money he's earning is not getting back. And he's like... And then he can't find, you know, he gets, you know, because back then, you know, you didn't have Google Maps, you know. You can't locate someone. You know, I need to get in touch with. And so right at the end, he got God, and he prays. And his prayer is, God, you know, listen, I know you're pretty busy. And I know you do so much. But things have got really desperate down here. And I don't like to bother you.
I don't know if you've been following the situation.
Yeah, I don't like to bother you. And, you know, we're just grateful for, you know, fact that we're here and breathing and alive and all the rest. We don't want to be seen ungrateful. But things have got pretty desperate down here. And I'm just asking, could you maybe work and sort this out? Because I'm just at the end of my rope and I just don't know what to do. And it was like prayer is the last resort.
Yeah.
That you only, an ungrateful people who just, you ungrateful so-and-so. You know, God's given you breath and all the rest. And here you are asking for things like food and that your wife won't starve. And
how dare you?
How dare you? You know, so it's like, I feel so ungrateful that anytime prayer is activated, it's like, it's because I'm not really grateful. And I'm just, you know, and how many times people, you know, when you say something, they say, well, at least it's not as bad as, at least I'm not, you know,
at least I've got this.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. And I appreciate that mindset. I appreciate a positive mindset. Yeah, I do that all the time. I make sure I focus on the things that God has blessed me with, you know.
That's so important.
It is important. But in terms of the prayer, it was like, oh, how dare I ask for something because I'm not someone in Africa that's starving, you know. Yeah. I'm not someone here. At least I've got a family, you know. So all those things. And it was just this whole attitude that prayer was the last thing and that God was, and we've got to convince him it's just pretty serious down here and it's last. I don't want to bother you and I know you're really busy running the universe, but... would you mind if you could do this? And so I actually photocopied and thought, that's it. This is what bothers me.
Yeah.
These books are so got the wrong attitude towards God. They're Christian, but then they've got such a poor attitude towards what God is looking to do.
It's almost as if you can only do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Can you stop looking over there for a moment And can you look here?
Yeah. I know. Listen, I know.
He's not omnipresent anymore.
Yeah. Oh God, I know. I don't want to distract you from the important stuff you're doing, you know. But I just really need help here. And it's just with this mindset that God is restricted. And yet, then I look at this verse. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his.
I like that, strongly support.
Yeah, he wants to help them. He wants to come in. And it says his eyes are searching the earth. He's looking. Who can be a candidate today? So it flipped the whole thing over.
Yeah.
This is not me trying to convince God. This is God looking to find someone. This is God seeking to have people on the earth that he can work through and minister. And I heard something, I don't know where, because I was listening to so many things. I listened to something yesterday and I'm like, I don't think I've ever thought about this before. It says God is love. Okay, you might say you were expecting something bigger than that, were you?
I thought, well, I have heard those words before.
I was like, Pastor, you haven't been reading enough of your Bible, you know. Yeah. If that's new revelation to you, we're in a bit of strife this morning.
That will be a revelation to someone somewhere.
And Josh, he's written this book called the Bible. And it's amazing. It's an amazing book, you know. No, okay. God is love. You might be... We know that, all right? I remember years ago when I was a young man and I was working through, I thought, why is that such a big focus, God is love? Because, you know, God is also righteous and God is just. You know,
he's mighty.
He's mighty. He's powerful. He's strong. You know, all these other things. Why God is love? No, because, and then I realized one day, you know, it was like, you know, when God's like, he'll catch on. Just give him time. Yeah. Let him stew on this for a while. And I thought, because it doesn't say God is loving.
Yeah.
It says God is love. Okay, that's different. There's a difference between being loving. He is loving.
Yeah.
But loving, but I can say, Josh, you are loving. But to say you are love, that's a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
You know, it takes it to a whole
new
level.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just loving, you are love. God is love. And this New Testament concept and expression, it was there in the Old Testament, but by shadows.
Yeah.
You know, God is love.
It's like the difference between like an action and like a force of sorts.
Yeah, it's the actual essence of it, as opposed to just being outworked. And anyway, the speaker I was listening to said, God is love really is intertwined with the concept that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, now the thing about this, unless you believe in God as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he can't be love.
That's good.
Love, by its very nature, is something that needs to express and puts others ahead of yourself.
That's good. Love, that's good.
You know, love has, you know, if you are just totally, you're the only one in the whole universe and you say, I am love, well, it's like, well, what does that mean? Because there's no, you love without some way of
an expression. That would,
God is love, and it works because the Father loves the Son and the Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves Jesus and the Father. Jesus loves the Father.
Yeah.
But they are totally, their love works in the Godhead.
Mm.
And that's why God is love is possible because they each love each other.
Yeah.
And was this particular teacher was asked, oh, if you could summarize what's the story of the Bible, you know, in one phrase, he said, he would say, God so loved Jesus, he wanted to create more sons that they could have that love for.
Mm. That's good.
They created creation and then put man on the earth in order to, so we've got someone else to love.
Because they had a great capacity for it.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah. Well, I really love you. I would love to have others that I could love like I love you because oh, you're so amazing.
Yeah.
How about we can pour this out into others?
Yeah.
So they created man so they could love him.
That's good.
And
relational God.
Yeah. And so that man could walk and be loved of God, and then man could reciprocate that.
Yeah.
He created man with the capacity to love. And in order to create something that can love, you've got to give them choice.
Yeah.
Because love has got, you've got to be able to choose to love. It can't,
choice,
if it's compulsive, it's not really love, is it? So they put choice into man. So man doesn't live just by instinct. Man just doesn't live by whatever happens. There's actually choices. So man could choose to respond to God.
Yeah, that's good.
So they created man with that capacity so that they could show him the love of God and the man could respond. Now, as soon as you give someone choice, they can make a bad choice. And man chose rebellion. They had the devil come, get in his ear, and you know, in Eve's
yeah.
ear, and then she said, yeah, yeah, I think he's right. I think he's got a point. And immediately she switched from God and put that life force, said, we can do this.
Yeah.
Adam followed suit, and we had the mess of what we call the fall. You know, and God had to now God's love becomes a message of redemption, of redeeming man and
that's
bringing him back
good.
To himself.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, he has to become the kinsman redeemer, has to become one of us, so that he can actually pay the penalty of our sin, win us over, and bring, and then we can choose to once again into that relationship. So it's all about this love sort of relationship. But God is love. That's why he created the heavens and the earth, because he wanted a place for people that he could say, I've got so much love, let's pour this love into you. And we've got the opportunity of reciprocating that.
Yeah.
And then now, and in the, you've read the letters of John, 1 John, John's like, you know what? God is love. God pours his love out into us. God loves. And now this love is worked in me.
Yeah.
And now I love those around me because
that's good.
I'm expressing that same love. So that's a quick summary of...
Very good quick summary.
Yeah. And I thought it was really good. But it comes to this heart that this... what is our view of God? God.
That man had a very different view of God.
Yeah.
If you could.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you would.
You don't really. I don't want to bother you. As opposed to this view, which is the eyes of the Lord. God certainly watches the whole earth carefully. He is. He loves. He wants to pour out. Now, in saying that, the world doesn't reciprocate that. The world doesn't give him opportunity. And sometimes the world actually rebels and works against him. So the world piles up for itself judgment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And God has to come in, and his love requires that he deals with us justly.
Mm.
Book of Hebrews says, the father that doesn't discipline his son doesn't love his son.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, love has to have justice to make it true love.
Mm,
all right,
lovely.
You know, without God creating a just world
yeah.
that has righteous principles, he's not truly loving. He can't love properly.
Yeah,
okay,
that's good.
So he needs, if his love comes and it's rejected and there's rebellion, he must discipline that. Otherwise, it's not true love. Otherwise, it's I don't really care about you. Do what you
yeah.
want. Act like you want. Be what you want. Doesn't matter. Doesn't bother me. I'll just do my plan anyway.
Yeah.
It's like you're irrelevant to it. No, that true love says no. I've got to respond, and I've got to treat seriously your choices and your decisions.
He cares how it happens.
Yeah, it's got to be
not
done
just
right.
What happens? How it happens?
That's a good way of saying it, Josh. Yeah, he cares deeply about how it happens. So his love requires that. So he can't just come, you know, so he wants to show himself strong.
Yeah.
But sometimes we build up judgment. Now, he's dealt with that ultimately through Jesus. That was his ultimate plan. But it says that, you know, he is, it says his chesed love. And we spoke about chesed love in one of our earlier sessions, you know, before when we were speaking on a covenant, I believe it was, you know, we spoke about the chesed love, that amazing description of the love of God. And it says his chesed love is, he wants to, you know, for forever. You know, might be angry for a moment, but my chesed love
forever.
Yeah. That's his, you know, he has to be showed justice, but that's not his heart. That's not what he wants. All right. So big long run up to coming back to this point and saying, this is the heart of God. He wants to show love.
Yeah.
He wants to get involved and to create you and make you into all that God has for you to be.
Mm.
And he's got a plan for you.
That's good.
And it's ongoing. There's more. Do you know what I mean? I've become more aware even recently that for all the good things that God has given us now, and there's a lot, you know, let's just pick Ephesians chapter 1, because, you know, there is a problem sometimes when people don't want to relate to God here and now, because you know it's when I get to heaven, that's when I get it all. Do you know what I mean? And Ephesians 1 says, Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ.
Mm.
That's pretty full on. Every blessing in there, spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that's yours. That's for you to enjoy. It goes on to say, you know, this inheritance factor. I'll pop it like this so I can actually see the verses. He did this. For he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that should be holy and blameless before him. In love he did this. Some translations do this, you know, because you might not be aware of this, but we did cover this one in the Bible. No punctuation marks and no things in the Bible. It's just all condensed, uppercase letters. So no full stops, no capital letters to show where it's at the start and finish. People have got to work that out themselves. All right? So there is... there is some debate as to whether this finishes in this sentence, as the people who were dividing the verses up thought, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, full stop.
Mm.
He did this by predestining us to adoption. You can actually read that, take the full stop off there and put it there, and put in love actually is the first part of this sentence. Yeah. In love, he did this by predestining us to adoption.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's and I think you can see in the New American, they've done that.
Wow.
In love, Holman Bible, they've done it in love. You know what I mean? So you know, so it's a genuine thing you can do.
Yeah.
But what it sort of talks about is, he's got this plan. He's always had this plan, this love plan. You know, and in love, he's got this plan to adopt us as his legal heirs through Jesus Christ, according to the pleasure of his will.
Mm.
According to the pleasure of his will. This is what he wanted
That's
to
what
do.
He wants.
This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to bring us in. He wanted to do it justly. He wanted to do it legally. He wanted to do it right. He wanted to make us heirs with Christ. You know, it talks in another place, we are co-heirs with Jesus, according to the pleasures of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace that he has freely bestowed us on his dearly beloved Son. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our offenses according to the riches of his grace, that he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight.
Not withheld.
Yeah, not withheld, not with even a little, you know, you can have a spoonful of grace. It's like, as much grace as I can get in you. He did this when he revealed to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ. Do you get the impression? I want this. This is what I want to do. Toward the administration of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. In Christ, we too have been claimed as God's own possession, since we were predestined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we were the first to set our hope on Christ would be to the praise of his glory. And when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in Christ, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. He's put the Holy Spirit in you. It's part of the... But it's interesting there, the down payment of our inheritance.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's come and it's...
That's good.
It's not all there yet. Now you say, what else could it be? Yeah, well... There's every blessing in heavenly places. It's been given to us. The fullness, the lavishing. And he said, yet I've still got more. I'm bringing you through, because whilst you're on this earth, there's limitations. Whilst you're in this old body, you know, this old body's got to die. And then we get a resurrected body eventually. You know, when we go to heaven, you don't get a resurrected body. You got to realize that. You go to heaven, you got your first stage in heaven. But when he comes again.
Yeah.
And then he's going to set up heaven on earth and set up, you know, the new heavens and the new earth. you get a resurrected body so that you can live on it and live on and enjoy it. And so it's like, I'm going to be with him, but then I've got even a further stage of this life. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, I was just thinking, can you see the wheel spinning?
Yeah.
Watch that. See what sort of love the Father has given to us. That we should be called God's children. And indeed we are.
Yeah.
For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what will we and what we will be has not yet been revealed. Yeah. We're all this now, but there's even more.
It's good now.
It's good now.
It's going to be better still.
Better. It's even better. Everything God has given to us now, it's even better.
God's saying, more to come. Watch this space.
We know that whenever it is revealed, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. In other words, when there comes that time when we have that, when Jesus comes and it goes up even another notch. So he's got this amazing plan. And I'm not saying, oh, it's all in heaven, because it starts now.
Mm.
And it starts right here.
Yeah.
And in fact, the next verse there says, and everyone who has this hope, in other words, my expectation of what is happening, going to happen, and that this process I'm on, causes me to have a reaction now, a response now. Everyone who has this hope focused on him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure.
Mm.
Now, this could, some people could say, oh, that means you've got to live right, which it does mean live right. But this word purifies is the word, okay, well, let's just have a quick look at it.
This is what we do in academy.
Yeah, you know, I was like,
don't take our word for it.
Don't take my word for it. Let's see. Everyone who has this hope purifies. It's this Greek word here, hagnizo, to make clean, to purify. Well, that's sort of what you said, you know, pastor. I got it the first time, purify. Yeah. Now, but when I think of purify, I think of just living right without any sin, which is what it means. But it's used 7 times in the New Testament, this word. And 3 times it's used in this sort of context to make yourself light, right?
Yeah.
But 4 times it's used in the more traditional sense of like, which is in John 11:55 would be a good example of this. All right. Now the Jewish feast of Passover was near, and many people went up to Jerusalem from the rural areas before the Passover to cleanse themselves, which is this word hagnizo.
Yeah.
To purify themselves ritually. Okay, it talks about a ritual purification. Let's see. Try to get this word back up again. Okay, here they are. So in the book of Acts. Okay, it's used 3 other times. Acts 21:24. Take them and purify yourself along with them. Pay their expenses. It's a bit hard to read because I'm not jumping into it fully. Verses 26 and 24:18 talked about when Paul was going to the temple and he was bringing others in. And he said, we're purifying ourselves so that we could enter the temple.
Yeah.
It was a sanctifying sort of process, cleansing process that meant you were ritually clean in order to be able to enter into the temple. Now, if you also go back, this word is used in the Greek version of the Bible, Septuagint, the Old Testament, and it's used in this sense. The Levites purified themselves, washed their clothing. Then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to purify them. This was about being able to come in for service.
Yeah.
To be acceptable, to be in for either some feast of God or into the temple of God. You're made right and ready for that place. All right? So hagnizo can mean to purify yourself, means to do the right thing and get rid of sin. But its context is also about this sense of getting yourself clean so you can go into a holy place or into a place of service and temple. So I want you to sort of take that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go back to 1 John 3:3. Everyone who has this hope focused on him purifies himself. I get myself totally ready.
He prepares himself.
Yeah, I get rid of the muck and the other stuff because God's got a plan and I'm going to be used. I'm imagining myself like that Levite priest, like the sons of Aaron. It's like, Josh, I've got a plan for you. Just we need to clean you up and get you ready. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, because this is purifies himself. This is not make yourself righteous because we can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, we can't. This is that there's things we do, but we're doing it in the Holy Spirit, in His righteous grace, and all the rest. But so it means I'm using the I'm using the Holy Spirit and His righteousness to get myself ready to be used. And that's like because Jesus is He's like the ultimate. He's just so usable. He's so clean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No limitations on Jesus.
That's right.
And it's like, I'm getting excited because you know what? God's got this great plan for me and I'm just getting myself more and more ready so I can step into that plan.
More usable.
I'm getting more and more usable, more and more clean some stuff so I can be part of this great plan. He's got such an amazing plan. And I'm just saying, as good as we get it now, it's going to get even better.
It's going to get better.
And that's the whole idea. It's just this,
that's good.
This building. This He lavishes it upon us. No, and it's not like you say, well, we've only been given part of it. No, I think He's given as much to us as He can on earth. With every, you know, because we're on the limitations, but as much as He can, but He's sort of saying, there's still more.
He's like, oh, I wish I could give you more.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just want to pour everything. And so we go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And it's like, who is the? He gives us the Holy Spirit. So he marks us with the seal of the Holy Spirit, who is the down payment of our inheritance. He's like, Holy Spirit, come and help them, get them to active and be living out everything they can. Get them to be doing everything that is possible, so we can get them into this. Now he's got this huge plan.
Yeah,
I've got so much for them. I want to lavish my love on them. I've got this so much grace I want to pour. I've got every blessing is now theirs now. I want to pour out. Holy Spirit, you come and you bring a down payment of this. Get them working and all that. So this is the attitude of God. This is the attitude of what God wants. And then this guy comes, oh God, I know you're so busy. I know you've done so much for us. If you could just happen to see it, that you could just come down and give me one. I promise. And it was almost, I won't bother you again.
I won't ask for anything else for another year at least.
Yeah, it's like I've been saving up all my prayers. I haven't been wasting them on little things. This is it. And I was like, this clashes with the mind of God. And so that's why in the end, I'm not reading these books no more. Because they say that they are Christian books. They say they are from a point of view of a Christian family. Because this guy prays, so it must be Christian.
If he was to have that change in the book and develop that, it'd be a bit better. But
no. What it did was it squashed my faith.
Yeah.
It made me feel just cheap and wrong for asking anything. That, you know, I'm not near as desperate as this. So what am I doing praying? There might be someone desperate and I'm wasting God's time because, you know, God, I'm from his point of view, he imagines this, God says, why are you wasting my time?
Yeah.
With these little unimportant things. Why are you wasting my time? Just be grateful, you.
He's not abiding. Ask anything in my name.
Yeah, he's not. It's just, and so like, out with those books because they were clashing with this. This is what I want to refresh. And this is, get the scripture that my Christine bought for me. Put that up front and center.
He's looking.
His eyes are searching for what? Someone he can show himself strong on their behalf. And what's he looking for? He's not looking for a big need. He's not looking for a desperate situation. He's not looking for anything. He's looking for those whose heart is wholeheartedly his. He's looking for people, someone that is trusting in him. Do you want to know what the response to that verse, that prophetic word was? Like, okay, you say, okay, that's a pretty amazing thing. That's why I sat there and said, who has responded to this over 500 years. Who has, you know, taken it? Do you know what the king's response to this was? This is not what I highlight, because, you know, you think, well, that's a pretty amazing that's a pretty amazing offer. So let's go back and see what we got out of this. 1610, Asa, the king, was so angry at the prophet, he put him in jail.
Didn't get it.
Did you expect that?
No.
Did you see that coming? Look, so mad with him. How dare you put the pressure on me?
Sorry.
It's as if it's my fault that God's not doing this stuff. You know? I'm just taking events, things into my own hands, and I'm going to do this. And it says, and also press some of the people at the same time. Yeah. It's like, oh, man. So you have the desire of God.
Yeah.
But then the person who responds, they've got to be able to respond in the right way.
That's good.
All right. And so God gives his promise, and he says, this is what I want. Hey, I just want your heart. I just want you to be wholeheartedly mine. I want you just to be, I'm just looking for someone that who's, hey, God, whatever you've got, I'm trusting in you. I'm just going to trust in you for this thing. God says, then we can work. Then I can move. And what do I get is, no, how dare you, you prophet, put him in jail.
Yeah.
I won't have this. I won't have you making these sorts of statements. And so just because it's been said doesn't mean it all works out.
Yeah.
There's got to be something. So, in light of that, because we're talking about Jesus, in light of that, I was like, what makes Jesus happy? Well, we can go to Book of Luke, chapter 7.
What a brilliant run-up to
it. Yeah, long run-up.
That was good.
Man, good run-up. I want you to get the impression. Okay, Jesus comes to the earth. John chapter 1 talks about he comes to his creation.
Yeah.
He comes, the creator. He's come, he's here. Mm. God's here. Love has come to the earth.
Love is
he's
here.
All this desire, all this.
Yeah.
And it says, they're like, oh, I'm not so sure. Reject him.
It's
I'm not so sure. Do you remember what, if we go back to that scripture in 1 John? Verse 1, there it is. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him.
Yeah.
All right, you just think this is all going to be wonderful, but this doesn't work out like that.
Didn't work out with the king.
Yeah, and it doesn't always work out with his people. So Jesus comes to the earth. Let's see what I'm ready to work.
That scripture with the I'm not as familiar with the story, but the master of the household, the guests wouldn't come, so he sends the servant out the highways and the byways.
Yeah.
Like, I have this stuff that I want to do that I want to give. Well, they don't want it. Search for people.
Yeah, let's go out wider.
Like, let's go. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So respond to that, and he has it for you.
Yeah, exactly. The people that should have. And the Pharisees, and it says, you know, often it talks about the Pharisees and the scribes, so the experts in the law,
the ones that should have gotten it.
They should have gotten it. They were resisting and they were messing it all up. And you can go back to last week to see Jesus was mad with them. And what was it that made him mad? Because of the way their attitude. So we're not doing the mad today. We're doing the glad. And so Luke chapter 7 verse 1 said, after Jesus finished teaching all this to the people, he entered Capernaum, and a centurion there had a slave who was highly regarded. Centurion, so this is a Roman centurion. He's not part of God's actual plan at this time. We've shared this in the past. When Jesus came to the earth, he had a very particular limitation on who he was ministering to. Some people think, oh, no, he's just come to minister the world. But he didn't. He actually came to minister to the Jews, to the lost sheep of Israel. Let me just see if I can give you the scripture for that, because some people might be joining us who haven't been a part of some of the other teachings. So.
But that was his calling. That was...
Yeah. All right. So I'll just show you from Matthew 10:5, because it comes into play here a little bit, because this is a Roman centurion.
Yeah.
And it comes into play with another scripture that covers this. Jesus sent them out these 12. So he gets his apostles. He said, I want you to take this message of mine out.
Mm.
And he says, instructing them as follows. Do not go on the road that leads to the Gentile regions.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even enter any Samaritan town. And go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm.
So this was his own target that he had. Matthew 15:24. Let's see if we got... I've just got a reference here to this. Okay. So he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He had a very particular calling.
Very specific. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why when he came to the earth, he did all his ministry just within a very small phrase. There was a little small zone, a little area. Yeah. All right? You know, if he was doing this in a political sense, he was going to... he would have gone to Rome.
Mm, yeah.
That would have been where you have all the roads. You know, it says all roads
lead to Rome.
It also says, and it's quoted by an Italian taxi driver. You sure you know where you're going? Oh, yeah. All roads lead to Rome. And, you know, like that's if you want to get in the... But he didn't. He went to Jerusalem because it was a spiritual connection.
Yeah.
And it had a particular... And he didn't travel.
Yeah.
He didn't leave. He didn't go and go to the kings or whatever. He just... did what God called him. It was very particular. That changed through when Jesus was resurrected in Acts. Let me just show you. That all changed in Acts chapter 26:23. So I can do it. Might as well show it to you. So let's just read it. And that Christ, this is Paul speaking, Christ was to suffer and to be the first to rise from the dead, to proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. From the resurrection, has happened. All right, yeah. And that's why Paul was given that commission. And he was to go out and...
he did travel.
Yeah, and he was to take this. You can go even see it back as part of Paul's commission. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you.
Mm.
So Paul, he had the particular commission to take this out.
Yeah.
All right. So we're saying that all to get in light the fact that when Jesus was on earth, he was, he had a particular focus and a ministry to the lost sheep of Israel. And it was and when he sent his disciples out, you see, make sure you stay within that zone. Because this is our ministry, this is what God has anointed us. Because this is the commission we have, and this is what we have for this moment. And then after that, you know, Acts chapter 1 says, you know, Jesus said, you will receive power to be my witnesses both here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
So he's now speaking. This is where it's going.
Right.
But at this time, we're in this limitation. And so a centurion. So we have to say, okay, this is someone who's living in Israel, but he's not under that covenant.
A Gentile.
He's not part of God's plan at the moment, but that's all right. They had a slave who was highly regarded, but he was sick at the point of death. And when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him. All right, Book of Matthew doesn't mention the sending the elders, but it's here, and Matthew just didn't bother to...
I've never noted that, actually.
Yeah, so here in this one it says, actually, he didn't go into himself, because he's like, I'll send a delegate.
Oh, the Jewish
elders. Yeah, send a Jewish delegate to him, all right? Sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. And when they came to Jesus, they urged him, he's worthy to have you do this for him. Do you see, he's a good man, you should do this, even though he's a Gentile... He's a good guy. Come on.
It'd be a bad look.
Because he loves our nation and even built our synagogue.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a second. So you're coming. Hey, this guy, he pays for our synagogue. Come on, you know. So Jesus said, okay. So he went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion had sent friends to him, said, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof.
Mm.
He says, what is this? That is why I did not presume to come to you. Instead, say the word, and my servant must be healed. I love that. You say the word, and my servant must be healed. For I, too, am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, he comes. To my slave, do this, he does it. So he said, I know how faith works. It works because you're a man of authority and you'll just say it.
Yeah.
You'll say sickness go and sickness must go.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works. So he said, you actually don't need to come. Just speak. Just speak.
Mm.
Just say it, Jesus. That's all you need to do. Just say it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. He turned and said to the crowd and followed, I tell you, not even in Israel I've found such faith. This word amazed.
I wonder how that must have made them feel.
Well, exactly. It's like, I think clueless. That's probably my...
Hopefully it would have been like, oh, this is the key.
Yeah. Yeah, we're inspired. I think a lot of people are, huh? A lot of stuff just went whoosh. You know, so it's sad. But yeah, it's like Jesus, how's this? But I love this word amazed. And if you look at the New English commentary on this, it says it's awe pleased. I wonder why this has gone small.
That's...
Anyway, I'll read it to you for that. Gone tiny. Blame the computer. That doesn't normally do this. Or pleased with him and amazed. The expanded translation brings out both Jesus' sense of wonder at the deep insight of the soldier and the pleasure he had that he could present the man as an example of faith. All right?
That's good.
Please. So they said this. What they're saying is this Greek word that's some translations, like for instance in the New American, it says marveled at him. Jesus marveled at him. Here it says he was amazed. They said it's amazed and pleased.
Mm.
Was that what it, I said?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're pleased with him and amazed. If you want to sort of put two words, a bit like Chesed, two words, you got to make up one Greek concept. It's pleased and amazed.
Yeah.
He was like, this is great, but a happy great.
Yeah.
Just made Jesus go, all right.
This is it.
This is what I'm looking for.
This is the thing.
This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm telling you. This is, he gets it.
Yeah.
He understands. He said, just, and it's not just the fact that he asked for healing. Okay. He wasn't as, Jesus was amazed. He didn't say he was amazed because he sent out for healing. But it was like the level of his faith.
Yeah.
Where he gets it. He says, just speak. I understand how this works.
Expected outcome.
I have such an expectation. I have such a confidence in you.
Yeah.
I tell you, not only have I found such faith. This kind of faith. This gets me excited.
Faith
I love
that
it.
Is pleasing.
Yeah.
To God.
Faith that says, yeah. And what makes Jesus glad is this kind of faith.
I just think if there was like more cases or more people that had that faith, he'd be like, say the word.
Say the word.
You know.
Yeah. Just people come, can you just say the word? Can you just say the word?
Yeah.
And it's like, fine. I think the amazing thing is Jesus could have, when they came to him, he said, I don't need to come. I can just say the word. But he didn't.
Yeah.
He said, like, no, I'll come because that's what they said. That's what they asked. And there was a...
He also, like, met them at their level.
Yeah,
of faith.
It was what their expectation, what their...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And so you had, like, the synagogue ruler whose daughter was close to death, and he went to Jesus and said, please, if you would come, you could heal my daughter. And they're pushing through the crowd, and they get slowed up because of... the woman with the issue of blood who's pushing through using her faith.
Yeah.
And Jesus never actually said, oh, don't worry, I can just speak it.
Yeah.
He was actually connecting to the level of the faith of the person at the time.
Yeah.
And he was happy with that. Like, I don't think Jesus is like, oh, if you don't do it this way. But it took someone from outside the system.
Yeah.
To take it up a notch.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, and I encourage you just believe God more. Just get more adventurous and more bold. And now, it wasn't as if he said, oh, listen, Jesus, I'm guessing you can do this. He said, no, I understand how authority works. Jesus connected his understanding of this centurion's faith with the insight that he had of how the authority and how faith worked.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you can just make it work any way you want. He understood how faith worked, the process of faith worked, and then he was able to trust Jesus in that. And he was able to say, Jesus, just speak. just speak. You don't have to come into my home. I'm not even worthy for you to come here. Just speak, and then it'll all happen. Because I understand how it works. I've got soldiers. I know how authority works. I recognize in you, you're a man of authority, and your speaking is working in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Your authority is in the spirit realm. I can see that. I have authority in the natural realm, but I'm heard stories about Jesus. Now, he didn't even go to him. He didn't think worthy. I'm doubting he's ever gone to see Jesus.
Mm.
You know, I think that's a safe presumption to make. Yeah. Based on his way, he's never gone to sit in the back and listen to the Sermon on the Mount. He's never gone to watch a healing crusade. Everything he's getting, it's because Jews are telling him.
He's heard, yeah.
He's heard. The Jews told him what they're seeing, and the Jews tell him what's happening, and he gets a perception that they don't get. The ones that were there looking at it don't, and they just echo it to him.
Yeah.
Those telling him things.
But he gets it.
But he gets it. He gets a perception that they don't get. And Jesus is like, no one here has got it like he's got it. He's seen through things and got it. I want you to be the one that sees through and gets it.
Was this the first instance in his ministry where it was this type of faith or expectancy? Or?
In terms of don't even come to me, but just speak the word?
Just that, just getting it. Sorry to throw that on you.
Yeah, no, it's in the book of Matthew, it's hard to tell sometimes because they don't always, they're not as totally focused on doing things in order as we are.
That's true, yeah.
They group and bundle things together. That also gives me a little bit of out because, I'm not sure.
No, that's fine. No,
but in Matthew chapter 8, where it follows right after the story of the leper who came to him and said, if you be willing, you can heal me.
Yeah.
And he said, I am willing, be cleansed. I don't think it's covered in the book of Mark, this one. So I don't know exactly where it fits in.
No, that's all good.
But what it does seem to indicate is that the Jews didn't quite get it as much as he did. What you could ask for. And it could be, this is the first time we hear of just speak the word as opposed to I need to be in the house.
I need to lay hands
on you.
Because when I think about even Jesus, his reaction of like that excitement, that pleasure, it's like this is the one that you think of, you know?
Yeah.
this is the example.
He's like, yeah, I like this, he said. This is really good. Amazed, pleased and amazed. Like, this is really good, people. This is good. Hey, hear what he just said? Wow.
I understand what has just happened here.
Yeah, this is.
Because that's the key. He got it.
Wow, he got it.
Yeah.
He got it. And you know what? That's what he wants, that excitement. What gets him excited? What makes him happy? Is when we get it and we trust him.
Yeah.
When we just put our trust in him and we rely and we actually really get his heart, get his authority, get his plan, get what it's designed for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we can extend that. You know what I mean? What would get him excited today, I think, is the next step along that plan.
Yeah.
His plan was he would come and do this and show this and demonstrate this. But then you are to go out and be the extension of that. That's his plan.
Yeah, that's right.
That's his plan. You look at Ephesians 1. That's what we're talking about. It's he wants the blessings and everything to be working through you. He wants you to now be the one that's taking that authority and ministering that around.
That's good.
So I'm going to guess when we get it, yes!
Send him out.
Go! This is wonderful. You know, it's like, Jesus, use me to in the same way. I can speak the word and I can do this and I can connect. And it doesn't mean that you can do anything. No, I'm looking for opportunities to connect faith with the words. Like Jesus needed people to connect his faith to. All right. So I first of all become the lightning rod of his for his faith. You know, for my faith enables him to be able to work. All right. Now I'm looking for those around me that I can now bring his work to. They've also got to be able to, they've got to have faith.
Yeah.
You know, remember the scripture where it says Jesus went to his hometown, but he couldn't do many miracles there because they were offended at him. They didn't have faith, and so he could only heal a few blind people. Mm. You know, do the basic ones, but
also because of their perception of him that this is just Jesus that we know.
That's right. They were like, we know his dad and mum and who is he, you know, and so their lack of faith meant he couldn't do many miracles there. So Jesus is like Roman centurion. He's the other end of the scale.
Yeah.
This guy really gets it. This is exciting. Hometown, pretty disappointing. Can't really do much there. Now, I'm saying when we come into this world, we can't just sit here. Some people might think, I can just be like Jesus, sit here and just speak and make it all happen.
Mm.
Well, no. Jesus had to find faith in order for the word of God to have that authority to work. So now we've got to try, first of all, give him faith in our, let faith come here so we can work in our lives, and then secondly, we've got to go and try and build faith, make faith quicken in people's hearts, so that they, through their faith, can become a place where I can do the same thing, and I can minister the life of God. And Jesus,
you get excited at that.
Yeah, and you say, well, how does that work? Well, it says the same way Jesus did. Jesus would go around teaching the word, and then faith was quickened out of that. You know, people sometimes saw the healings and. I don't know what, we don't know what it was that the Roman centurion heard, but something had spoken to him and he worked out this, this faith had come alive in him through that.
Yeah.
But I do know in the book of Romans, chapter 10, it says, how will they come to faith unless they hear?
Yeah.
And how will
faith
they hear?
Comes unless, by hearing.
And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word concerning Christ. And how will they hear that word unless someone is sent, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, here I am, send me, you know, is ultimately, you know, sort of, God, I need to go, I need to speak the word so that people can hear about it and faith can be quickened, and then we can see as their faith is quickened, we can speak with authority, we can minister and see life come into them.
Mm.
First of all, the salvation, that the born in the spirit, born from above, revelation, life flows, and then out of that, the things that God has planned for him, because his eyes are constantly looking, all the time looking, whose heart is open to me so I can show myself strong. What sort of stuff does he want to show? Well, you just go to Ephesians 1 and you get a bit of an idea of the things. You know, I remember years ago, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm preaching and we're teaching and you know, I'm listening to some of the things like Brother Copeland and Brother Jerry and it's like, oh, something. And sometimes I had this thought, oh, are we stretching this thing a little bit too far? Do you know what I mean? Because a lot, I'd come out of a Christianity that was not near as, you know, we weren't looking for the blessings and we weren't looking for the healings and we weren't looking for the provisions. We were, you know, a bit more like that book, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, are we taking this too far? And then I always remember, whenever I do that, it's like read Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, and I read Ephesians chapter 1 and go, no, we're not taking it far enough.
There's still more to go.
Yeah, every time I think, maybe we're taking this too far, I read Ephesians 1. No, I'm still actually, well, there's a lot more here I need to press into. There's a lot more here that I've, you know, when I look at it from God's perspective, it's like, you think you're pushing the boundaries, you're in kindergarten, boys, you know.
Like that story with the Finnegan. We're not even over the top yet. Yeah, you know, keep going,
you know, you've got nothing yet. Go all the way. And sometimes it's like, oh, you know, but when you meditate on the word, it quickens faith. Faith for what God wants and faith for his plans and faith for the way he wants to do this. So we're going to do a short Bible school this morning. I just felt in my heart, you know, cause I had another example of this that we're going to go to. Lord said, no, just let people stop and chew over this. That's enough. That's enough for you to
away. I feel that big build up and run up was actually very important.
Yeah.
Like with the love. You know, letting that love flow, like, you know, with the Trinity, and let it flow to us and through us.
Yeah.
And my guess is that similar excitement would be when where that's happening through us. It's like, you know, you say you love God, like, but then you don't love your brother or you don't love this person.
Yeah.
When he sees that you're loving these people, it's like, that's love working.
Yeah.
Get excited about it.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think that was really important and really cool today that we did that. Mm.
So, I want you just to take that like I said, that run up was sort of like the build up to it. And this is what gets God excited. Can I just say something? Jesus didn't just, like, I would be so excited. I'd be like, someone got healed. The centurion servant got healed. And Jesus is like, yeah. But did you see the faith? Did you see the faith?
That was the outworking.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's good. But did you see the faith? Because the faith unlocked the healing and he was excited for it.
Yeah.
And so it was like, he got excited over the centurion's bigness of being able to see how this works and latch onto it and release the power of God. He said, I wanted that servant healed. The centurion, did you see how he got it?
Yeah.
Did you see how he reached out, used his faith to work in that centurion? How good was that? Exciting. Hey, you know, and sometimes, you know, like, I just know the disciples were pretty clueless about a whole lot of stuff. And they were sort of living in their own world. You know, Jesus talking about all the things. Do you think I could sit on the throne on his right? Do you think I could sit on the throne on the left? Jesus is like, what are you guys, you know?
I'm always like, hindsight is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, if I was there at that time, would I be the same?
And that's the thing. The disciples like, we really are not getting it quite right. And Jesus, did you see that? Did you
understand what just happened?
Yeah, did you understand what just happened? It was so amazing. And a lot of people are, huh? How come you're not going to his house?
Why aren't you healing him? Are you not going to heal him?
Are you going to heal him? Oh, no, he's healed. Oh, that's good. He got healed.
But you didn't go to his house.
Yeah. It's like, no. Did you hear the words? The faith that he had.
Yeah.
The way, I love the great faith. And she, you know, okay. So Jesus goes home that night and they're sitting there around the table eating. Jesus is smiling. Did you see his faith?
We saw his faith. Like, the ones that haven't gotten it.
Did you see his faith? Did anyone pick up today about the Romans of Jerusalem?
Jesus. Right. I mean, that would have been like just a beautiful memory for Jesus on earth. Like,
yeah.
That was just a beautiful moment.
Did you see that? Did you see that guy's faith? What, a Roman centurion? He's not even a Jew. Did you see his faith? How good is that? It's interesting. I'm going to go sideways. just take that and say, hey, that Jesus really got excited about that.
Yeah.
Just, why don't you get excited with Jesus? Ooh. All right, why don't you stop and think, oh, Jesus, what gets you excited? You know, he says, well, I love it when you trust me. And, you know, when you believed me for this, when you put your faith in me, he said, that was the best moment. That was so good. You know, when you're under pressure and everyone's saying to do this, but you said, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust God. You know, so we. That's what I was looking for. That was the faith, you know. It was like, did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see that? Did you see Brooke? You know, Brooke's watching. God's the angels. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that down there? And the angels, we saw it. You know, because it talks, remember, in the parable about the lost coin and the lost lost sheep and then the lost son. And it says there's more rejoicing.
Mm.
In the throne over one that's comes back. It talks about there's more rejoicing in the presence of the angels.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just look at that because
it's never really our last scriptural last.
This is postscript. In the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent.
Mm.
There's a lot of joy when these things happen.
Yeah.
I tell you in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. Mm. They're excited. Sometimes people said, you know, the angels rejoice. You know, and that sort of people have sort of taken that, said the angels rejoice, and then it's but it's in the presence of God's angels.
Mm.
I think that's because God is happy.
Yeah.
And the angels are caught up in that. You know, like it doesn't necessarily say the angels only, it's like God's like, yes, and the angels are, yeah, I did it. Whoa.
It's like that, just that, the rippling, yes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. And so, you know, so yeah, so Brooke, it's like, did you see Brooke?
Get excited. Why'd you get excited?
Did you see Christine? Did you see Rob? Did you see Agnes? You know, God said, did you see that faith?
Yeah.
Whoa! Did you see that strong faith? Did you see how did you see how they pulled it? They understood it. They got it. Just said, just speak the word.
And he loves those people. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
To and fro across the earth.
Looking. And it's all about whose heart is wholeheartedly theirs. It's a faith that comes out of a complete trust and a reliance. He said, did you see that? They were under pressure. They trusted me.
Yeah.
They put their faith in me. And they said, no. This is how this works. And it's like, yeah. So it's not even the fact that, and so they got the healing or they got the provision. Or they got the breakthrough.
Mm.
God's happy with it, but it's how.
Yeah.
It's the fact they trusted me.
Yeah, that's so good.
How good is that? All right. So we're gonna just bring that. I just felt don't bring another one because this is enough for people to really chew on.
Let that sit. Chew on that. Marinate in that. The revelation just like deepen in that sense.
Yeah.
Can come to that. This is great. This is what God is looking for. And how can we actually be doing that in our own lives? How can we have that same faith in our own lives?
What can you do to make God happy? Anything? Or, I can do something
for him. Get his attention.
Get his attention. Just trust him and go and do something that is born out of faith. It's like, I'm acting because God said it.
Yeah.
So.
And that might be something different to what you normally might do.
Yeah. Because you say, God has said this. So I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Because that's what God has said. That's how God works. He just says it. I know how servants work, we understand that's how it works. So God works it. All right. So be blessed. And we trust that you can join us again next Friday. And we trust we've got Jay. We're believing that Jay will be back with us. I really do believe that he'll be strong and be able to part of this.
Absolutely.
And we do have a special guest where we're almost ready to announce. We're just making the final arrangements, but we're hoping that'll be sometime in the next 2 weeks. So keep watching. Be part of our...
Keep watching this space. Don't know, maybe next week, maybe week after, but very soon.
Yeah.
We'll find out, and it'll be exciting. It'll be good.
Amen. Jay says, "Yep, he's in. He's ready to go." All right. So be blessed and have a great Sunday coming up. We're looking forward to God. Hey, if this is your first time at Academy, you can go to breakthrough.org.au/academy. All our past messages are there. You can go back and feed on those. Let the Word of God get in your heart. Build that faith so that you can then take that to others. And make Jesus happy.
Be blessed, guys. Bye.
Bless you.